Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Beasley switching in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's go. I'm excited to be back in the saddle tonight after the technical difficulties from the home studio. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 on the air. Always a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Thanks to the guys in the wheelhouse prior for the reminder that we were up next. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you the show each and every week. Again, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN 975. Number to call in tonight. Very important to keep this number close, 713-780-3776. Because we'll take your calls at any time. We want your opinion. I want them. Plus, we'll give some tickets to the Dynamo Seattle game away here tonight. AC, Andrew Carlson, producing tonight again. We come off Dynamo coverage here on ESPN 97.5 this past weekend. 4-2 loss at Sporting Kansas City. And we're going to shamelessly remind you that ESPN 97.5 is the only station in Houston for English language soccer coverage. So a big thank you to ESPN 97.5 for believing in the beautiful game. The run here at ESPN 97.5 has been amazing for soccer coverage through many years now, countless shows, and hosted with guests from around the world and local, and we're going to keep it going tonight. We've got topics and great stuff to talk about all on the table, but I'm not sure there's anything bigger than what I'm going to ask next, and that is Andrew Carlson, producer extraordinaire, super fan of Arsenal. I stumble upon a video that has you drinking out of a soiled tennis shoe of Cody Stutz, a beer. First of all, have you had a tetanus shot or anything? Second of all, how are you feeling? Third of all, why the hell were you doing that?
All right, so I am up on all my shots, so that's not an issue. You know, I'm good with the vitamins and everything. The immune system is strong, so we're feeling okay, which is a very positive sign. You know, we're a few days removed now from that incident on Friday, so I feel like if there were any effects, I probably would have dealt with them by now. But essentially what happened is we have a segment of the show every Friday where we make picks for five football games that weekend, some college, some NFL, and just so happened that by one game, I was at the bottom of the table for that month, for the month of September, and we had a punishment for it. So that punishment was me doing a shoey, or essentially pouring a beer into a shoe and taking a nice little drink out of it.
What has happened to us? Well, when I saw that, I'm just thinking, well, your way to get back at them is create some game that's soccer-related. You'll crush those guys.
Oh, 100%. They would never go for it, though, yeah, Glenn. So we couldn't have that.
You got to try to work that in. You're the producer. You got clout. You're allowed to come with creative ideas, aren't you?
I am, but I don't think them doing a soccer segment is on the cards just yet. It might take a little bit of time.
What do you mean? They're going to shy away from it? Come on. These guys are supposed to know sports, all the guys. BK, Stutz, all them.
Right? BK might have a shot since he's from Austin, but Stutz and Jake Asman, no chance.
Nothing for Jake Asman and Stutz? Well, so they're watching Ted Lasso, though.
Oh, yeah. They're all enjoying Ted Lasso. I think everybody is.
Yeah, everybody is. All right, so here's what we got on tap tonight here. We got a really good show in store. Great interview tonight with Brian Sciarretta of American Soccer Now. We're going to get you caught up on a lot of American players, some you know, some you don't know, what they're doing in Europe. Plus, we'll talk some U.S. men's national team against Jamaica, which Thursday is in Austin at the Q2 Stadium. I thought it was important to run an interview I did with Austin FC goalkeeper Brad Stuver. Now, this isn't an interview where I ask him about, you know, going through a rough season. What is a locker room like? You know, let's stop with the coin phrase. Everything's beautiful in the locker room. It's a great locker room. It's not great when you're losing games. Okay. I can tell you that there's fights in practice. There's all kinds. So I'm taking Brad into some stuff, and he's pretty candid about the pressure that has been on Austin FC in a lot of ways. We talk about the fact that, you know, there's no woe is me there, because each and every week you got to step out at home in front of 20,000 fans and you got to look them in the eyes and you got to play. It's not like, and I'm not trying to, I'm only playing it straight here, but, you know, if you run out in the Dynamo Stadium and it's half empty, sometimes you have to manufacture your pressure, right? You don't have any media pressure. You got to manufacture it yourself. And that doesn't mean that can't happen. But, boy, it sure is helpful if you got a large crowd that you also have to hold yourself accountable to. And that can actually help in the process of trying to break losing streaks and get out of, you know, the major dips that occur in seasons. So that should be a very interesting interview. Mark McKenzie, U.S. Men's National Team defender. Now, with John Brooks pulling out due to injury, McKenzie's definitely a possibility to start on Thursday against Jamaica. Now, Walker Zimmerman was also brought in and probably has more experience than Mark McKenzie. But McKenzie played at the Philadelphia Union, a year at Wake Forest in college. So we'll catch up to him on what the U.S. men's national team camp is feeling like right now. And remember, that last 45 minutes against Honduras has certainly changed things. Let me just take you into a soundbite here, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about lessons learned from the last, you know, round of World Cup qualifying. Here's Tyler Adams. This is soundbite number 19 on lessons learned from the last camp.
Yeah, last camp was obviously a great experience for us all. A lot of us, our first taste of what World Cup qualifying was going to be like. For us, the most important thing coming into this camp now is to take each and every game by game, not focus on saying, okay, let's get 9 points. I mean, I remember even myself, I previously said, you know, let's get 9 points in the window. Let's focus on each game and what we need to do in order to win each game. And then I think that's going to set us up for the best success.
Man, I love that kid. Very smart, intelligent kid. Here's Tyler Adams. This is soundbite number 20. Just additionally talking about this last camp, about being naive, because here's the thing. You can be told what World Cup qualifying's like. You can probably get rhetoric from everybody. This is one of those things you just have to go through, I would think, on your own. That's what I think. So here's Tyler Adams, soundbite 20.
I think that coming into last camp, you know, maybe we were just a little bit naive and, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. And that's why we had to use those first three games as a learning process. And now you can already see, like you said, yeah, it's been one training. But at the end of the day, you can tell that the group is focused and we know what our ambitions are, of course. But again, it's just that game by game mentality now.
All right. So the U.S. Currently has 5 points, so it's a game-by-game now, according to Tyler Adams. That's the message being sent from Greg Berhalter. We're wondering what the starting lineup's going to look like. You know, who gets in goals? Is it Zach Steffen or Matt Turner? Turner's a little off form in Major League Soccer right now. Does Steffen come back in? What's the back four look like? Is it Dest, Robinson, McKenzie? Does Chris Richards get a run? Anthony Robinson at left back, DeAndre Yedlin. So who are your backs there? Could be Walker Zimmerman as well. Adams, Acosta, Legette, are they the three that get the run in midfield? Aronson, Pepe, Zardes. Who's at the tip of the spear? It might be Jazzy Zardes coming back in. Do you simply play Ricardo Pepe because he was good against Honduras? Where's Matthew Hoppe or Areola Weah fit into this? So there's a lot of options here, but one thing's for sure. You do not have Christian Pulisic. You do not have Gio Reyna. Those are two of your more creative pieces, and you're going to have to go it without those guys. So we'll see. Greg Berhalter is asking for more speed and more direct play. Paul Arriola had this to say. This is soundbite number 24 on what the U.S. manager Greg Berhalter wants from his wide men.
Greg had mentioned, you know, about verticality and being able to get in behind and really create havoc for back lines. Obviously, that's something that Greg really likes about me and the way that I play and the willingness to get in behind with and without the ball. And obviously for me, that's my job. And I've always known that coming in to the national team with Greg is he's always emphasized that the wingers get in behind. So for me, you know, it's for us, it's extremely important to find our attacking midfielders in pockets to be able to turn and look forward and then be able to play wingers in behind. So, you know, coming into to camp, I know my role, you know, even if Greg hasn't touched on it yet. But, you know, I 100% know my role and what I'm here to do.
So I'm going to say Paul Arriola is going to probably start just based on that conversation he had with Greg Berhalter and what Greg Berhalter wants. So this roster, 15-year-old base players, 11 from Major League Soccer, 3 goalkeepers, 9 defenders, 8 midfielders, 6 forwards, and that's the makeup of this team. And they're going to go without 3 starters in Gio Reyna, Christian Pulisic, and John Brooks for sure. So there's a lot to go here. U.S. will play Jamaica, then they'll take on Panama. So they've got 3 games in this round. And, of course, they sit on 5 points. And you would hope, you know, for us on the outside, it's game by game, right? But you're hoping, you know, you take 7 points in the next 3. You're in pretty good shape here. Pretty good shape, I would have to think here. The U.S. men's national team. All right, let's talk. And I know, Andrew, you may have seen this game, but the Liverpool-Manchester City game may have been the best game in the Premier League this year. Remarkable, remarkable game. So let's start it off. This is soundbite number 14. Liverpool will jump out. And again, this game is at Anfield, and we know everybody over at Hugh O'Connor's was pumped for this one out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Soundbite number 14, Liverpool, Sadio Mane, but the architect of this was Mo Salah. The weight of this pass, incredible. Salah was remarkable in this game. Here it is. Liverpool goes up 1-0.
Fabinho snaps it back towards the Egyptian, who's away down the right-hand side. He draws the port over, slides it in. Sadio Mane! Mo Salah to Sadio Mane! We have lift off of that field!
Wow, the passion there. Soundbite number 15, though, Phil Foden. You got to wonder where he's going to be in a couple of years. The talent of this guy hits an absolute laser. This ties it at 1.
Jesus wriggles through a couple of challenges. Plays it out wide. Chance here. Oh, what a finish. Phil Foden. Exquisite from the young Englishman. City a level.
Jesus had a phenomenal game. Soundbite 16. Liverpool take the lead to the delight of their fans. This was the dribbling exhibition. I described this in the Burning Topics presented by Cactus Music as juking, jinking, changing direction. I mean, every adjective you can pull out. Now, look, I know Maradona's dribbling exhibition against England in the World Cup is you know, legendary when it comes to goals off the dribble and beating people. I think he beat Terry Butcher probably twice on that play. This is equally as brilliant. It's just not in a World Cup. But, I mean, this, if you have not seen this, I got to get this posted, but if you have not seen this goal from Mo Salah to put Liverpool up 2-1, it's remarkable. Here's what it sounded like.
Salah, with a bit of skill. Mohamed Salah. Salah still!
Tough to shout above that crowd, that's for sure. So Salah just, you know, basically comes out of a pack of players, changing direction. It's remarkable. That guy gets 3 clear chances every game. 3 clear chances, pretty much, every game. I think he can almost take that to the bank. These are the types of players we go to games to see. Players with breakdown capability, dribblers. Look, even in the context of the Dynamo, we've had a rough season. Just having, and I'm not going to say he's played great, but just having Darwin Quintero on the field brings possibility. you know, it has been a midfield that really has lacked tremendous creativity, if we're really being honest. Just to have him on the field, some possibility does begin to creep in. And to watch guys like Mo Salah off the dribble, it's remarkable. But you know what? You never sleep on Kevin De Bruyne, right? Because Kevin De Bruyne would tie it up for City. And some might say City are the big winners getting a draw at Liverpool. Here's how it sounded, soundbite number 17.
Phil Foden again. Kyle Walker is forward. De Bruyne! It's a sensational game of football, and for the second time, Manchester City draw level.
You know, this is one of those games that you just, in a world of professional sports where there is just so much commercialism and it's so much about money, this is one of those games that for a moment just takes you away and you forget about all the other, you know, extra stuff that comes with sports nowadays, and you just all of a sudden you're so hyper zoned in on two teams competing with the perfect backdrop, legendary stadium, fans, and you know, you just marvel at those types of games. I mean, when Salah scored that goal, he pulled people off their couches all around the globe. I mean, it's just one of these remarkable plays. All right, big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Also a big thank you to FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations down in the Montrose area, Montrose and Westheimer, right next to Velvet Taco. And then the one I always go to north of Washington Avenue on Shepherd. Get over to FM Kitchen and Bar. Great burgers, chicken sandwiches. Burger was voted best in Houston by Houston Press. They got the big outdoor patio, tons of monitors. You can watch all the games you would like to watch. All right, caller number five right now. And caller number seven, both of you will get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dynamo Seattle Sounders at 713-780-3776. Caller number five and seven right now, 713-780-3776. We'll take a break. Advantage BMW Midtown takes you there.
ESPN 97.5
Ash Radio.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Celebrities are crazy. I don't want to be in that category. They are. They're going freaking insane. Don't call me that anymore. These people are out of their freaking mind. How they treat people, what they do, what they say, that's never been me. I never want to be looked at like that. And, you know, all my life, you know, everyone probably gets stereotyped, but us celebrities, we get stereotyped because most of them celebrities are out of their damn mind.
Shaq speaking truth right there, Shaquille O'Neal. Okay, so I'm going to give you the break music right now, Andrew. It will be Can't You Hear Me Knocking from the Rolling Stones. Who was that we were just listening to, by the way?
Oh, who we've got right now?
Yeah, what was that music?
So this is a older rap song. It's Harder Than You Think.
Okay. There's nothing about that song that tells me rap, but okay.
Hip-hop, more hip-hop than rap, but it's a bit of an older song.
Okay, now let me go get my chamomile tea, and I'm going to get ready for bed now. That was a very slow vibe. That's second-hour music. That's not first-hour music, is it?
I don't know. See, I don't get a slow vibe from that. I feel like it's
okay.
A little upbeat.
All right. Okay, well, no, I think it's upbeat. I do think it's upbeat. Upbeat's good. Okay. I stand corrected. I usually don't let you screw with the music, but that's okay. And I like the confidence that you can go in and start pulling some of your own tracks. So that's good. And actually, I want you to keep thinking of that. Next time you run it by me because we're having fun.
Sounds good, boss.
Nah. I'm just kidding. It's all good. Okay, let's get back to it here. Let's start with the Dynamo 4-2 loss to Sporting Kansas City. We did this game on the radio right here at ESPN 97.5, so we're proud to be bringing the Dynamo on the English language. Let's go to goal number one. It's Johnny Russell. It's not the best start for the Dynamo. It's a penalty conceded by Sam Junka. Russell against Nelson, and the Scotsman will drive it home. It's 1-0 Sporting Kansas City, and they are off to the start they would want against the Houston Dynamo. Their goals continue to rain in here. Number two soundbite is Sporting Kansas City going up 2-0 here, and these are both in the first half. This is Daniel Shalloway. This is his 16th goal of the year. Some people are saying he should be the MVP in Major League Soccer. Sporting makes it 2-0 here. 6-on-5 here for Sporting Kansas City. They get it into the box. A shot and a goal. Unbelievable. It is Shalloway again. He scores his 16th of the year. It's now 2-0 Sporting Kansas City. Bright spot for the Houston Dynamo. They'll get a goal from Fafa Pico at the beginning of the second half. It would make it 2-1. For Pico, it's his 11th of the year, and that's a season best for him in Major League Soccer. So the Dynamo get back in it at 2-1 here through Fafa Pico. Dorsey now on the right side, driving towards the end line. It's being marked there by Shalloway. He's going to get the cross into the back post. It's 2-1. Stabbing it in is Fafa Pico. Sporting Kansas City, though, respond shortly thereafter. Gadi Kinda will make it 3-1. Kinda now. We'll get back to that in a second. It's Shalloway. It's Kinda. Please save this. No, it's in. It's 3-1 Sporting Kansas City. Are you kidding? Dynamo would make it 3-2. Darwin Quintero would pull one back. And believe it or not, this is off a great movement from him and a header. They get it out wide. It's Fafa Pico. Pico will get a cross in the header. Oh, it's a great header from Darwin Quintero. It's 3-2. And then Johnny Russell would do his best Mo Salah imitation, beating a few players off the dribble, and would make it 4-2. That would be the final. Here's the final goal. Oh, it's Russell. It's Russell again. This guy is a nightmare for the Houston Dynamo. Slashing run, beating people, whipping it into the far side netting. It is going to be 4-2 Sporting Kansas City. And the Dynamo were coming into this on high hopes. They had felt they played good against Vancouver. I think the only seduction from the Vancouver game was that Vancouver did not attack a lot. So I'm not sure that the 3-5-2 on that night, it was good. No question against Vancouver. I'm not sure that was going to apply to Sporting Kansas City. And, you know, Todd Ramos came out after the game. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I should have went with a back four and just stationed two outside backs there. But these are the types of decisions that coaches have to make. Do you go with the system and sort of the wide game that you had with Junka and Dorsey that was successful against Vancouver? Do you factor in that maybe that game is not the truest test of that system? Do you change for Sporting Kansas City based on the quality of their game? These are the things coaches have to decide. Tab Ramos decided to stick with it. And, you know, he did mention after the game that, you know, maybe it was the time to move back to a four back. Here's Tab Ramos, soundbite number 7.
It's sometimes hard to explain why we make the mistakes that we make in the back, and in particular why, you know, the last game we played in Minnesota, I thought we had a slow start. And today I thought we had a slow start again. And I didn't expect that at all, only because we discussed exactly that. We said, hey, in Minnesota, we were coming from playing well and we had a slow start. We cannot have that today. You know, we talked to the team before the game. From the first minute, we have to be aggressive. And I don't think we were. I think it took us 20, 25 minutes to get in the game. And then we were good. But, you know, you give one of the better teams in the league a 2-goal advantage. You know, good luck trying to catch up. It's not easy.
Yeah, it isn't easy, and that's probably the best pressing team in Major League Soccer and Sporting Kansas City. I don't think there's any question. They're one of the standard bearers in the league each and every year. They're like Seattle. New England is doing that now under Bruce Arena. These are teams that are really, really separating themselves from the pack in a league where there are a lot of financial constraints, but they're finding a way. That just means there's better talent assessors. There's better people in certain positions. The gap has to be closed. So Ted Siegel has bought the Dynamo. We'll see what happens. We're talking about general managers now. So here's a few that have been mentioned and just a quick thought from me on them. By the way, Matt Jordan was a GM for 7 years. Now, you got to wonder if you had a real press in this town that you know, just didn't take a Dynamo press release and had some opinion – And again, I'm not bagging on anybody because, you know, you got to earn the coverage as well. You can't earn it without winning. You can't earn it without people in the stadium, and amongst other things. But 7 years as the general manager, and you make the playoffs once. How do you keep that going? It's like banging your head against the wall. And without press to kind of call you out, do some healthy shaming, people don't have to change. Owners don't have to change. General managers don't have to change. Presidents of the club don't have to change, and they go on their merry way. And I still think the Dynamo need a heavy dose of deep-rooted, passionate, soulful soccer people in their front office. They need it. We need it. We don't have it. It's all people from outside of the town in a lot of ways that are there needs to be a balance. There needs to be. And by the way, you don't need all soccer guys who can tell you all kinds of things about soccer who are not fits for a front office either. Okay? Everybody can have an opinion. But a bunch of ex-soccer players in every single role in a front office is going to be a failure too. It's a balance. And there's certain people that have played that deserve to be in front of offices, that can make a difference, that'll do the work day in and day out. And there's others that just because they say they should be there, shouldn't be there. And that comes down to the people doing the hiring, and you got to be better hirers. Pat Onstad, his wife got on Twitter, was liking some comments from people saying, bring Pat back as a GM. So Pat Onstad in Columbus, he's done the work. Craig Weibel, sources tell me they've reached out to Craig Weibel. Dennis DeClosse is going to probably be leaving. I think he's going to be leaving the LA Galaxy. There was a link to him to FC Cincinnati, but FC Cincinnati just grabbed Chris Albright from Philadelphia. Brian Bliss is another one at Sporting Kansas City, longtime friend of Todd Ramos, longtime friend of Peter Vermes. I mean, the question there would be, why would he leave Sporting Kansas City? I don't know. So you can't get this next hiring wrong. This hiring is not going to go to somebody with no experience and is an ex-player with no experience. It can't. Anybody with half a brain understands that you have to get somebody in here who's going to be a can't miss, and you're maybe going to have to pay more than market value for that guy. And I think the thing you do is you go straight to the top teams in Major League Soccer and look for their number twos, things like that. All right. This is called the Danish Dynamite Report. It's brought to you by Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Modern Contemporary Furniture, DanishInspirations.com. Longtime supporter of this show is Jan Christensen. He joins us now. Jan, what do you have for us?
Oh, good evening, Dan. Good to hear your voice and wonderful show as usual. Well, the big celebration this week, I thought, was Zlatan being 40 years old on Sunday and still at the peak of his game, man. Can you hear me?
Wait. Yeah, but he's Swedish. I thought this was the Danish Dynamite Report.
It was, and, you know, his parents came from Bosnia and Croatia, and they came to Denmark, and then they said, no, sorry, man, we can't give you a visa. We have to send you to Sweden. That was how close he was to becoming Danish, right?
But, I was just going to say, wouldn't you have liked seeing him in a Danish national team uniform?
Oh, man, that could have been awesome, man. You know, but, you know, who knows? He might have developed the same way, you know, in Denmark, he would in Sweden. But, you know, we Scandinavians, we stick together. And I just think that he has been such a, in many ways, a gift to soccer and to people who have some personality and who really give 100% every game. And, he's, you know, look at, listen to this, Greg, 833 top games, 502 goals, 190 assists.
Unbelievable.
I mean, unbelievable, you know, he's trained with the best coaches, Mourinho and Ancelotti, Capello, and, you know, when Arsene Wenger from Arsenal, he wanted him. He said, I want you for a tryout, he told Zlatan when he was 17. He said, Zlatan said to Arsene Wenger, I don't make trials. You take me or you don't.
Wow. So I guess that confidence was developed very early from Zlatan.
Yeah, that's you know, he was a troubled kid, you know, but a few coaches really got him in. And one coach he really praised a lot is Ronald Koeman, because when he came to Ajax, he put him on the first team straight away, where the other coach didn't use him that much. And so that was a big, and Mourinho has been big for him, and of course Ancelotti has really been big for him as well. But Mourinho said, when asked if that time was difficult to coach, he said, well, someone who wants to win, they want to work, they want to be the best, what can I say? How can that be difficult to coach, he said, you know? And you know, the training, I always heard that time in training gives 100%. He got a lot of trouble with teammates sometimes because he went so hard. But he always said, the way you train is the way you play the game. And I can only agree with that. I have been coaching a few people that when they do that, you know, it comes true in the game again. And I've been to trainings many times, and a lot of looked at people and just doing half training, and then they think they can. But he's right. The way you train is the way you play the game. Anyway, so right. I want to congratulate him with the 40 years, and then just hope that he play another couple of years, you know. And then of course we have the big World Cup qualifiers coming up this weekend. You know, Denmark is ahead in that group, 6 games, 18 points, 22-0. And that's pretty amazing, Glenn, because we all know how difficult it is not to get scored against, and we know how difficult it is to score. No matter how much, what their position is, you know, it's still very hard to do. And it's the only team in all of the World Cup qualifiers that has that together with Brazil, I believe.
All right, so this is Jan, before we let you go, a couple things here, because we got 1 minute. First off, quickly, 20 seconds. Tell me about something in your store, because this is the best modern contemporary furniture in Houston. They got Stressless in there. Quickly, a hit on your store.
Yeah, we still got Stressless, man. We still got Stressless, you know, when you get a certain chairs that are $500 off, you know, and we've got a lot of new sectionals and great new leather furniture in there. So come on in and see us, man. We'd love to see you.
Okay, so that's Jan Christensen, Danish Dynamite Soccer Report. Now, you ready, Jan? 1, 2, 3. We're red. We're white.
We are white. We are Danish Dynamite.
There you go. He is Danish Dynamite. He's Jan Christensen. Jan, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you, man. Have a good one. Thank you.
All right. And a big thank you to Jan and his company, Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Get over there. It's on Fondren. Going to break right now. Caller number 3. Okay? Caller number 3 here as we take you to break with the Rolling Stones. Can't You Hear Me Knocking? Throw Me Down the Keys. Caller number 3, 713-780-3776. You're going to Dynamo Seattle Sounders.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And as everybody knows, up in Austin, Texas, Q2 Stadium, the United States men's national team will be in action against Jamaica on Thursday night. It's another huge qualifier. Another historic moment for Q2 Stadium. And this interview now with our next guest is going to be brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are the ones getting soccer on the radio, and they allow us to do an interview like this with U.S. men's national team defender Mark McKenzie. He joins us now. Mark, thank you very much for your time. Yeah, we're excited to have you on the program. Another thing about Mark McKenzie, plays at Genk in Belgium, played for the Philadelphia Union. So you get into camp. How's the mood there ahead of Thursday night?
No, man, it's the mood is nice. You know, it's nice, one, to be back with the guys, see everybody again, you know, get back into camp when everybody's been all over the world, you know, in their own club situations. And you see some familiar faces and a familiar territory. You know, you're in the States, you know what to expect, you know, you understand that English is spoken here, so you can joke and laugh and whatnot with the guys. So it's nice, you know, but, you know, at the same time, we understand we're here on a mission, you know, and that's to qualify for the World Cup. And we got another important game coming up on Thursday against Jamaica. So, you know, ultimately we want to end this window with 9 points, you know, to put ourselves in prime position for the November window. But, you know, it starts with starting this window outright and getting 3 points against Jamaica.
U.S. national team defender Mark McKenzie joining us here. You also know him from the Philadelphia Union in his days in Major League Soccer, played a year at Wake Forest as well in that program. All right, so when you get into this environment, in a way, does it help you when you go back to Genk in Belgium? Does it kind of refresh you a little bit, the change of scenery, the change of players?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, again, this is a group of guys who you know to some extent, you know, from whatever level of the national team or club football it was. So, again, you're able to make these jokes and reconnect with guys who you haven't seen in a while. Step out, you know, of your club environment, you know, wherever you are in the world, again, like I said, and now kind of come into this camp, you know you're in a safe space where, you know, these guys are your brothers, you know, where we're working together on a common goal and on a common mission. And I think that common goal is really what unites us and makes it feel homey, you know, makes it feel like a family. So, and then when you go back to your club, you know, have a fresh set of, you know, eyes in a way, you know, you now understand, you know, you played against another international team. You're able to see, you know, different tactics and whatnot. And you go back and you say, okay, yeah, you know, I feel confident. You know, I just came off of a successful national team window and now I'm ready to kick things off again, you know, with club.
How important is to keep that level of confidence up now that you're at the highest level here? Now that you're at the U.S. national team, you're playing for a well-known pro team in Belgium and Genk. You know, confidence can solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's one of those things that can fluctuate, you know, as you know, honestly, anywhere in life, whether it be a professional athlete or just going through everyday life. You know, I'm actually reading a book about trying to keep that level of confidence, you know, and stay at your peak. But it goes up and down, you know, at any given time. You know, it's difficult to kind of stay at a steady level, you know, and when you do find that rhythm, you know, little things can knock you off. But again, that's why you're in a group of guys who are able to keep you balanced, you know. So when you're feeling a little bit lower, it's like, you know, you're here for a reason, you know. So don't, you know, don't get down on yourself, you know. We're here to pick each other up and uplift each other. And at the same time, when you start feeling too high, knock you down and say, hey, you know, we're also here together. You know, it's not just about one individual, but a team united, you know, on one mission. So I think that is what makes this team special. And I think it's huge.
Mark McKenzie joining us, U.S. men's national team defender. You remember him from the Nations League and all his great play in that tournament. So let me take you into that. You know, it is a family type environment. What did you guys learn from that first set of World Cup qualifiers? Because listen, you know, a lot of people are on the edge of their seat going into that second half against Honduras.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think when we look at our first match against El Salvador, I think it's a new experience for a lot of guys. It's their first World Cup qualification, myself included. You know, I didn't play that match, but you step into that stadium and it's jam-packed before the match is even started. You're going into warm-ups and you hear the vuvuzelas, you hear the music, the drums, the firecrackers, you know, the fireworks going off in the background. And it's a hostile environment. You're getting stuff thrown at you already, you know, and it's like, all right, let's stay on track here. You know, let's focus on what we have to do and achieve these goals, you know, that we've set for ourselves. You know, we get a point out of that match and it's like a wake up call in a way, you know, to say this isn't, you know, it's not going to be a cakewalk. You know, we're not going to be able to just outplay teams and, you know, say, oh, we have guys who play at the top clubs in the world, you know, this, that, and the other. The other teams don't really, they truly don't care, you know, and at the end of the day, they're fighting to get into the World Cup as well. So I think that was, you know, a key moment for us, you know, and then we go into the Canada match where it's another 1-1 draw against a quality opponent. You know, you look at their team and they've got quality players as well. So going into that last match, you know, you want to end things the right way. You want to end with 3 points. You want to go into the, you know, end the window and go into the next window feeling like, yeah, we know what we have to do now. And we're going to learn from the things we didn't do. The first half was definitely rough. You know, you concede a goal about midway through that first half. And now it's like, boy, oh boy, like what just happened? You know, it's a blow to the gut, going to halftime and we regroup, you know. I think that's the biggest thing, just regrouping, understanding like, look, we got 45 minutes to set things right, you know, and we can either sulk and pity ourselves about the first half and, oh, you know, we're letting ourselves and our country down as that, or we can say roll up our sleeves, you know, we're going to scrap, fight and do what we got to do to get 3 points out of this match. And I think the team responded extremely well, and coming together and executing, you know, what we needed to, what we should have in the first half, but going into the second half and executing it well, and wrapping up with 4 goals, you know, I think that's huge. So again, you know, we learned from that first window and now we're going to this with a fresh set of eyes and understanding what it takes to really qualify.
So let me take you back to Cuscatlan Stadium in El Salvador, because I've called games there, and it's I mean, the first time you ever go there and do, even as a commentator, it's incredible. You know, there was a lot of things I learned just getting up to the television booth there. But you mentioned all the things, all these things that are smashing your senses, the acoustics, the noise, the drumming, stuff being thrown at you. How do you cut through that? And of course, you know, everybody can tell you about what it's going to be like, but until you go through it yourself, I would assume, you know, that's just rhetoric, right? How do you cut through that stuff?
Honestly, I think it's just about focusing on the task at hand, you know. And it's easy to say, you know, but you're there to play a game. You're there to get 3 points. You're there to win a match, you know. Ultimately, yeah, we can try and drown out all the things going on around you, you know. But at the end of the day, it's 11v11, one ball, three referees on the pitch. You know, we just have to focus on doing that, taking it minute by minute. Because the moment you start allowing these outside factors to creep into the camp, you know, that's when you start falling off your game and losing sight of what you're there to do. So I think it takes a moment, you know, a deep breath or whatever it is. You know, every individual has their own little pattern, little nuance to kind of overcome those feelings or those motions or whatever factors they really are. For me.
Isn't there something fun about it, though? Cavalier spirit going in there, you know, a country that wants to knock the beast off, and you go in there and, you know, I mean, I got to think there's a part of that that's fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You live for those moments, you know, as a professional athlete, you live to go into hostile environments and to embrace the challenge of silencing thousands of those home supporters and walking out of there like, yeah. Thank you very much. We're going to go about our business now. You know, that's what, you know, those moments that you live for. So again, you know, it's about taking that deep breath and knowing that, yeah, we're here to play. You know, we're not going to back down because we got, you know, a couple lighters being thrown or some food or some beers being tossed at us. Yeah. All right. I'll brush it off. I'll take some water, scrub it off. You know what I'm saying? And we keep it moving. But that's the stuff that you live for, you know, silencing away fans. And making them feel like the minority, you know, when you're honestly the minority in that stadium.
Mark McKenzie joining us, U.S. men's national team defender, ahead of U.S. Jamaica World Cup qualifier up in Austin, Texas at the Q2 Stadium. All right, when you get into camp with Greg Berhalter, how quickly does he remind you, hey, this is business as usual? Or is there a time period that, you know, it's a bit relaxed in the beginning of the week? Does it get ratcheted up? Kind of take us behind the scenes a little bit, because I think most people tune into the game. They don't realize, hey, you know, you've come halfway across the world to get here. Everybody's coming from a different team. Everything's got to come together quickly. How does that work?
Yeah, I think it's different because the windows are condensed in a way, you know, because you have 3 matches in a short succession, you know. So you got guys arriving into camp. Some, you know, like for this window, for example, you know, some guys arrive on Sunday, some guys will arrive on Monday, depending on when their matches are. But you want to get guys in as soon as possible, you know, as long as things are going in accordance and making sure guys are healthy coming in and making sure guys are comfortable in their travel accommodations. So I think that's the biggest thing, you know, making sure guys are feeling good coming into camp. And when you get in, you realize that you got, what, 2 days, 3 days max to prepare for that next match. So you get in, you have, you know, your training session, you know, but you also have, you know, some meetings to kind of go over protocol and standards and our team objectives, goals, this, that, and the other. And then you flip it over and you get on the pitch and now it's go time, really. You know, there's not really a – you're not really allowed that grace period because, you know, the games is on Thursday, you know, and this is probably our first team collective training sessions, you know, in the first day or two when guys are just arriving. So I think that's a difficult thing to balance, you know, making sure guys are ready, but also giving guys the ability to adapt, you know, to the time change, to the climate change, you know, this, that, and the other. So I think the staff is doing a great job of it, you know, making sure going into the window that you have the proper – making sure guys have like nutritional stuff, you know, making sure, you know, that I think that's the biggest thing, you know, that you can probably focus on and making sure, again, it's important that guys know that, yeah, we're here, you know, we're here for a goal and we're going to give you that time to adjust. But at the same time, you know, we got to get going fast. So
Mark McKenzie joining us, U.S. men's national team defender. Take me into Jamaica and kind of your thoughts on Jamaica and the opponent and some of the things that make them dangerous.
Yeah, of course. Look, they have weapons of their own. You know, they got guys who can, you know, they can beat you on the counter. They can beat you on set pieces and whatnot. But ultimately, we want to focus, you know, on how we can break them down and imposing ourselves on them. Of course, we respect our opponents, don't get me wrong. But we also understand that we have tools and you know, we have weapons of our own, you know, that we can use to counteract their strengths. So, yeah, we will break down film and whatnot and see, you know, areas in which that they can hurt us potentially, but ultimately it's about how do we defuse those situations or how do we minimize those situations in number so that way we can now control the match, you know, ways we want to control it.
Mark, what about the whole notion? You're another one of these young guys that we're all really excited about with the national team. We're at a precipice of time with national team programs on the men's side where we've never had so many guys in Europe. And I think people like myself absolutely love the youthful enthusiasm, your desire to want to take it to the next level and do something special. What does it feel to be a part of that?
No, it's incredible. You know, it's a dream, you know, to play on your national team and to be in these positions. You know, these are moments that you dream about. And to actually be called up and to play a role in that is even more special. So, you know, for me, it's you learn, you know, from the things in the past and that way we can set things right in the future. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. But ultimately, it's about taking it one game at a time. And that's the one thing that I've learned, you know, since being in this group. You can't look too far ahead. You know, the moment you look far, you know, farther ahead than the game ahead of you, it's you start throwing yourself off. You start psyching yourself out. And again, you lose sight of that goal again. You know, it's about focusing on that thing that you can control. You know, that's one, your performance, but two, how you prepare yourself for that upcoming match.
Mark McKenzie joining us again, U.S. men's national team defender. Going to Belgium, how has your game improved over there?
Yeah, the speed of play, one, you know, it ramps up, you know, way. So that way you're under pressure more. You also understand the pressures of winning matches as well. I think that's probably the biggest adjustment, you know, with relegation being, you know, a thing as well. So how much money is involved in promotion relegation, you know, teams are pushing to remain, you know, in first division, you know, and not wanting to go down in the same way the teams in the second division are wanting to stay up and promote into the first division and ultimately stay. So I think balancing all of that out, balancing out new styles of play, you know, whether it be, you know, teams playing with 3-5-2 or 4-4-2 or 4-3-3 or all these different formations and style. Exactly. Different tactical nuances, whether teams want to sit back or high press you, whether they play man to man and allow certain players to have the ball or whether they're going to fly at you, you know, by any means. So I think, you know, learning on the fly has been the biggest thing, you know, and I think now that I've gone through that first 6 months, you know, now into my first full season, you know, I think I've adapted well, you know, in areas of my game, whether it be playing out of the back, whether it be playing, you know, on the lower block, whether it be defending guys who are more physical. You know, we got Paul Onwuachu, a Nigerian forward on our team, 6'7", you know, so how do you defend a guy like that? Or how do you defend a guy who's more running, you know, runs in behind you off the back shoulder, or a guy who's just going to simply stay in the box and do his damage there? So, yeah, all these different areas, you know, that I've had to kind of adjust my game and learn. But I feel like it's made me a better player overall. So,
Mark, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck on Thursday against Jamaica. Enjoy watching you play. Keep up the good work. And thank you for giving us your time on ESPN 97.5.
No, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Mark McKenzie. We're going to take a break here. We got more to come here in the second hour. A lot of good stuff to go, all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.